لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الرحيم ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. وبعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Respected elders, beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As always, we acknowledge that all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our nourisher, and our sustainer, the one who will resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah and question us on how we conducted ourselves in this world. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sending us the greatest gift that He can bestow upon man, a guide, a leader, and a mercy, our Prophet and our Master, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah shower him with the choicest peace and blessings upon his family and upon his friends and upon all those who adopt the Ummah or the way of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this blessed day of Jumu'ah, like how He has brought us out of our homes and gathered us in this beautiful house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as how He's also gathering many other Muslims all around the world on this very auspicious occasion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likewise gather us in a far greater and blessed gathering on the day of Qiyamah in the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. In a few days' time, we will be coming to the end of the Islamic year and we will begin the new year. And every year we are reminded about an event that took place, an event that will mark the start of the Islamic calendar. When Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu decided as to when are we going to start this calendar, how are we going to date events, the Sahaba gave various views. Some of them said, look, we can take it from the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of them said, well, it gave the various views. You know, we can make it at, when the Prophet received wahi. But they agreed that this event has to be the start. It has to signify something very significant, something that surpasses all other opinions. And they agreed that we are going to settle on the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam min Makkah al-Mukarramah ila al-Madinah al-Munawwarah. And that will mark the hijrah, mark the difference between
حق and باطل, between truth and falsehood. It would mark the difference between قلة and كثرة, the difference between when the Muslim is a minority and when the Muslims are a majority. It would show the difference between striving and reaping the benefit. It would show the true meaning of what it means to sacrifice in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many, many lessons we can take from this hijrah. So we want to mention a few today in the very short time that we have. We will try to mention some events that took place prior to the hijrah, what led up to the hijrah, and we'll take one or two lessons from there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding and open up our hearts, inshallah. Ameen. To start off, let's look at the meaning of the word hijrah. Let's look at the meaning of the word hijrah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارِ, those who have built a home, وَالْإِيمَانِ, and they have fortified and they have built iman, مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, from before them, referring to the Ansar, the people and the inhabitants of Yathrib at that time. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ, they love those who made hijrah to them. Before the Muhajirun, before those who were expelled out of Mecca, they were fleeing for their lives and they were fleeing for Islam. Before they even got to Medina, they were loved before they even reached there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praising the Ansar, those who will help the Muhajirin, those who will receive the Muhajirin. So the word Hajar and Hajara, it's two different verbs. The one Hajara means to migrate from one place to another place, but there's another factor. Either they were forced or it was from a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hajar, on the other, if we say the Prophet ﷺ made Hajara, then this means he left Mecca and there was a hatred. There was something he disliked in Mecca and he fled. There wasn't another factor. You're running away from something you dislike. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this with regards to a husband and a wife when they are in dispute. وَالَّتِي تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ, those females who you are afraid, you fear that they are trying to break the marriage, they are trying to do things to disrupt the marriage. فَعِذُوهُنَّ, speak to them. Then Allah mentions a verb, وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ, make hajara from them. Hajar from them. That is the command. Not hajara, but hajar. Moving away from factors you dislike, you make hajar. So it is not permissible to say the Prophet ﷺ made Hajar from Mecca, because that would give us the impression that he disliked Mecca. We rather say Hajara. He made Hijra. Why? Because there was a factor aiding this Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was leaving Makkatul Mukarrama, his homeland, the place that he loved. This is where he was born. His whole life was spent there. Khadija radiallahu anha and his children, this is where he spent his life with them. He turned back and he looked at Mecca and he said, Wallahi, by Allah, innaka la khayrul ard, you are the best of cities. Wa habbu ardillahi, you are the best of the earths of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ilallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Allah. You're most beloved and you're the best in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another narration, you are the most beloved to me as well. وَلَوْ لَا أَنِّي أُخْرِجْتُ, if it wasn't that my people forced me out from you, minki, مَا خَرَجْتُ, I would have not left you. This is the Prophet ﷺ speaking to Makkatul Mukarramah. And it is not far-fetched at this time to realize that the love of the Prophet ﷺ is something extremely real. It is something very powerful. Bring to mind when the Prophet ﷺ stepped off the stump and he gave a khutbah on a mimbar that he constructed for him, and all the Sahaba heard this. They heard crying. They heard crying. And then the Prophet ﷺ stepped off the mimbar and he went to the stump he used to stand on and he hugged the stump. The stump was jealous. The stump longed to be stood on by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Out of love of that stump, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the stump must be put under the mimbar so he can feel quiet. This is the love inanimate things has for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, And what love should we have for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So when he turned from Makkah, he looked at Makkah and he said, "You are the most beloved places." So we say, "Hajara Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." He made Hajara. He didn't leave because he hated Makkah. He didn't even flee for his life. He left because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded him to do so. He left because he told the Sahaba, "Uritu, I've been shown the place of Hijrah." Then he gave the command, "You need to make Hijrah now to Madinatul Munawwara." As for Medina, the place to where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making Hijrah, what did he say about those places? Many a hadith, just to mention two. Ma bayna bayti wa mimbari, that which is between my house and my mimbar is rawdatun min riyadil jinan. It is a part of Jannah. Either this will actually be a part of Jannah on the day of Qiyamah, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers a part of Jannah right in this very time. Says Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man istata'a an yamuta bil Madina." Whoever wants, let him die in Medina. "Falyamut biha fa inni ashfa'u liman yamutu biha." I will make intercession for whomever dies in Medina. So this is an incentive of the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for these two lands. Every one of us should make an intention to visit Makkatul Mukarra and Madinatul Munawwar as much as we can. At least if we cannot do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us. There's a love in our hearts for Makkah. There's a love in our hearts for Medina. And we love the people of Makkah in a whole. And we love the people of Medina as a whole. Because this is where Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came from. May Allah place love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. Just to give you an idea of the place, Makkah versus Medina in terms of the place. Makkah has a very low altitude. I checked it up, was about like 270 altitude, height above sea level. As for Medina, that's like 620. And that translates in as follows. Makkah is a very hot place. It's a very dry place. Very difficult for things to grow there. The water is not that sweet. It's not that plentiful besides the water of Zamzam. In Medina is an oasis. The water is sweet. The ground is fertile. And there's a correlation between the people that stay there. The people in Makkah was muta'assim. They were very fanatical about their ways. Medina, as we will hear, the environment was a bit different. They were a little bit more accommodative than those people in Makkah. So, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after 10 years of striving and sacrifice, after 10 years of striving and sacrifice, where did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was he doing? The hijrah took place in the 13th year. But the muqaddimah, the introduction of the hijrah, the direct influences of the hijrah, what led the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to leave Makkah, it happened in the 11th year. Now if you look at the career of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from 40 to 63, 23 years, and you divide that into two, it's 11 and a half. That gives you 23. So you find in that year, more or less in the center of the career of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meets the Ansar for the first time. But before we get to that meeting, let's understand what happened and what led to the meeting of the Ansar. So for 10 years, for a decade, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes out every year. Where the Hujjaj are coming to Makkah, and he goes to the marketplaces and he stays there for 30 days meeting the delegations as they are coming in, and he calls them to Islam. First year, nobody answers. Second year, nobody answers. Third year, for 10 years, the Prophet ﷺ is being ridiculed. He's being rejected. Why? Because the marketplaces that he's going to, he stayed by Uqad for 20 days. Then he stayed by Majanna for 10 days. Then he stayed by a place called Dhul Majaz for a few days, which is basically in the time of Hajj. So almost a month, he would go out to the marketplaces at the time of Hajj and give the da'wah. And as he's giving the da'wah, then Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira and the rest of their gang, they already devised a plan. What are we going to tell the people when they are coming in? And they thought, look, let's if we are going to disagree, Some people's going to say he's a poet, and some people's going to say he's a soothsayer. Then we're going to reject these others, and then we're going to reject one another. And then they're going to know we are lying. So they asked the eldest amongst them, Walid ibn al-Mughira, what are we going to say? So he said, you guys will say, and I'll either accept and I'll reject. So they said, let's say he's a soothsayer. Let's say that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a soothsayer. Let's say he's a fortune teller. Let's say he's a poet. Let's say he's bewitched. And they give various opinions, and he's saying, no, he cannot do that. We cannot say that, because they know a person that is bewitched, he acts a bit crazy. Or someone who is a poet, we know poetry. They're going to know we are lying. But he says, the best thing we can say, that he is a sahir. He's a magician. He's a sorcerer. Why did they settle at that? Because they're scaring the people. They're scaring the people to close their ears, because his words is going to be magic. His words is going to be magic. And he's going to separate between your families, between father and son. And the people, as they are coming, as the Prophet ﷺ is speaking, they are casting the Prophet ﷺ out. But the Prophet never gave up. For 10 years, year after year, the Prophet ﷺ came out and he was rejected. Up until one meeting. And this meeting was, it happened in the 11th year. He meets a group of six individuals. Those six individuals was As'ad ibn Zurara, Awf ibn al-Harth, Rafi ibn Malik, Qutbah ibn Amir, Uqbah ibn Amir, and Jabir ibn Abdullah. Six individuals. The Prophet ﷺ approached him and he says, where are you guys from? And he says, we from Medina. And he says, oh, you guys. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, min mawali Yahud, you guys are connected to the Yahud? Then he asked him, won't you please just sit down with me? Ukallimukum, I just want to say a few things to you. Now what led up to this? In this 10 years before this meeting, where did the Aus and the Khazraj come from? They come from a place called Yemen. The Aus and the Khazraj were two brothers, and they had families, and then, you know, progeny after progeny. They were huge, two tribes from Yemen. A flood happened there, and they moved to Medina. Many moved to Medina. In Medina, the Jews were there. They were waiting for a prophet to be raised amongst them, because they saw all the signs, and Medina was one of the designated spots that the prophet will be raised here. So they worked for the Jews. The Bani Qurayza, the Bani Qaynuqa, and the Bani Nadir. Those were the three tribes of the Jewish tribes that were in Yathrib at that time. And they worked as farmers, and they did various things for the Jews. Then something happened. The Crusades came into Medina and they attacked Medina. And they humiliated the Jews. They wanted to disgrace the Jews, so they put the Aus and the Khazraj in charge of them. So they become the leaders of the city now. So therefore, the Jews had a thing going with them from a long time ago. And they sowed seeds of enmity between the Aus and the Khazraj. They wanted them to fight amongst each other, until they did. 5 years prior to the Prophet's meeting with this in the 11th year, 5 years prior to that, the Aus attacked the Khazraj. There was a battle. To the extent they almost wiped out the Khazraj tribe. And then they wanted to burn the Khazraj in their homes, those who were still alive. And they decided not to, because some says, look, these guys are better than the Ta'alib. They are better than the wild foxes, animals, referring to the Jews. This was the hatred amongst them. So when these six people are coming there, the Aus and the Khazraj, the Jews used to make fun of them, because the Jews are Ahlul Kitab. They know, they have knowledge of the book. And the Aus and the Khazraj, the Arabs, they were unlettered. And they wished they could also have a prophet, also have a leader, so they could be learned just like the Jews. They were hoping that there could be a leader amongst them that can bring their people together. Because they learned one thing when they were almost wiped out. The Ghalib and the Maghlub, both of them will be losers. The one who is victorious and the one who lose, both will be losers. Because they will be killing their cousins. We take lesson from this. Pick your battles. Look with who you are fighting with. Brother and sister are fighting for years on end. And then we're fighting with their children as well. What happens if you win? You won a battle with your brother and your sister. And the Silatul Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has placed barakah in joining family ties for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they almost wiped each other out. So they're speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet ﷺ speaks to them and he presents to them Islam. And as the Prophet ﷺ is speaking, they look at each other and he says, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ النَّبِيُّ الَّذِي تَوَعَدَهُمْ بِهِ الْيَهُودِ. You know who this is. This is the man that the Jews are constantly speaking about. This is the foretold Prophet. Because the Jews, when they were fighting amongst each other, they said, when the Prophet comes, we're going to wipe you out, because they were fighting amongst each other as well. So they said, "This we know this is the, we can see that the signs of truthfulness in his face." And the Prophet ﷺ presents to them Quran and he presents to them Islam. Six individuals. And they promise him that we're going to come back next year. And when we come back next year, we will bring whoever we can, whoever believed us. So they spread the word in Medina. And there wasn't a house in Medina in that year, from the 11th year to the 12th year, except the news of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spread in every household. Some were accepted and some were rejected. And the next year, Bayatul Aqaba happens. When it was the Musimul Hajj, Hajj season, 12 come now, not 6 anymore, they were double. 10 of the Aus and 2 of the Khazraj. 10 of the Khazraj and 2 of the Aus. And they meet the Prophet ﷺ by the Jamaratul Aqaba. And they already accepted Islam. And that night they took a bay'ah by Muhammad ﷺ. They take a bay'ah, this is in the 12th year. The bay'ah is a pledge. The Prophet ﷺ says that, أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. Don't make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the rest of the pledge, we'll go through that. So what lessons can we take from there in this very short time? Lesson number one. من علامات النجح في النهايات الرجوع إلى الله في البدايات. Signs that our ending is going to be good and beautiful is that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beginning. Now we're making mention of this because there's a false understanding that we might have due to a misunderstanding of a hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that hadith is the hadith of Jibreel. Not the hadith of Jibreel, the hadith where it speaks about the development in the womb. And the end of that hadith is, فَوَلَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ. The Prophet ﷺ takes a qasam, by the one whose soul is in my hand. Any one of you are acting like the people of Jannah until he's almost at the end of his life and he does something like the actions of Jahannam, and then it causes him to enter Jahannam. And vice versa as well. So we find that collaborated with other ayat. هَذَا مَا تُوْعَدُونَ لِكُلِّ أَوَّابٍ حَفِيظٍ. This is what you have been promised, Jannah, for everyone who's returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protecting their life, protecting their deen. So these are hadith and these ayat, it gives us the understanding that how we leave this world is extremely important. And this belief we have is true. But what this implies might not be true. That the beginning is not true. How we live our life at the beginning doesn't affect how we end our life. So we can, as we are young, we can do what we want. We can indulge a little bit. And as we get older, then we will change our life. As a matter of fact, not as we get older, the last moments of our death even, then we're going to change our life. We're going to learn Quran. We're going to start performing salah and we're going to make tawbah. Is that the correct understanding? The answer is no. Because there's another narration on this hadith and puts everything in perspective. How can that be true? Because that is unfair. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who believe and they do good deeds. إِنَّ لَا نُضِيعُ. We won't waste the reward of those who do good. So how can it be that those who does good at the beginning and at the end they make a mistake and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes away everything? It doesn't make sense for our good deeds to be wiped away and only the end makes sense. So the hadith which we should actually take note of is the one, فِيمَا يَبْدُو لَكُمْ, in that which is apparent. So in other words, a man does an action of a people of Jannah. He goes to the mosque and he gives zakah and he's the best of people. فِيمَا بَدَى لَكُمْ, in that which is apparent. We don't know what is happening in the heart. Then as he approaches death, then the book of Allah it overtakes him because he never had sincerity and he becomes the people of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Likewise, you see a sinner and you see he's doing actions of the people of sinning in that which is apparent. But every night he goes home and we don't see that. And he cries to Allah. He says, I'm trying to leave his action. Ya Allah, help me. And he's crying and he's crying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him every night. To such a degree, he returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no sin. And he becomes from the people of Jannah. So this is what the hadith means. And how does this relate to the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? For 10 years, can you imagine our Prophet standing in marketplaces, going to every tribe. And as he's speaking, his uncles are speaking, saying, don't listen to this crazy fool. He's calling you to break up your family ties year in and year out for 30 days on one in the marketplaces. But the Prophet ﷺ had ikhlas. The Prophet ﷺ was doing what he was doing with sincerity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of the results. So especially those who are in their youth, those who are young today, do not have this wrong perception that one day I'm going to change. The beauty of living a life with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we're young is a guaranteeing factor that when we are old, we are going to leave this world in a beautiful state despite what people might think of us. Because we try from the beginning till the end. As a matter of fact, at the end, we give out all our effort. That's where we give the last bit of effort, more than we ever gave before. So this is one lesson we learn of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam prior to the hijrah and just at that particular time at the Bayatul Aqaba. The second lesson that we can take from there is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never made excuses. This Makkah is a difficult place. I can't practice my Islam in Makkah. You know, I need to move to a different country, an Islamic country, if there was an Islamic country at that time. I need to move to a better place. Then I can actually practice my salah. I can't be in university, and I can't be in school, and it's the wrong family that I'm in, that's why I cannot practice my Islam. It's the job that I have. We have all these excuses the Prophet ﷺ had. What excuses did the Prophet ﷺ actually make? Remember this one hadith. I'll leave you with one more point. The Prophet ﷺ says, قَدَ أَفْلَحَ. The one who is successful is the one who aslama. He first submits himself completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is at the beginning till the end. Complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا. He is sustained with not the best, but he has enough. He has enough. Then وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا أَتَاهُ. Allah makes him content with what he has. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever he had at his disposal, he used that to preach the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used that to practice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We, in our own capacity, we come from various places. We have various jobs, various occupations, and various families. That little that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, if you want to be successful, realize that that is enough to practice this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then secondly, the dua we must make is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us contented with that little that we have. We don't have to make excuses. What we have is enough to attain not just success in this world, but success in the Akhirah as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and guide us. If I may, I have 2 more minutes, just one more lesson that will bring us to 3 lessons up until this point. If you look at the bay'ah that took place on the Bayatul Aqaba, when the 12 met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the 12th year. Remember, the next year would be Hijrah. But in that 12th year, they pledged to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sent with them Mus'ab ibn Umayr to teach them Quran. The next year, they would come back with 70. But in that first pledge, what was that pledge about? You must do this and you must do that. No, it was a lot about leaving of things. Alatu shiriku billahi shay'a. Don't make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We might think that's an easy thing, but remember, they are contending with their culture. Their culture is to worship idols. Can we contend with our culture today? What is the West? What is our environment forcing us to do that is against Islam? Can we contend with them? Or do we fall by the first drop of peer pressure that comes our way? Do this, do that, and we just want to go with the flow. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't just stand against one person, but against an entire nation. An entire nation, notwithstanding everything, an unbroken and unstoppable force in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't make shirk with Allah. Then, wala taznu, wala tusriqu. Don't make zina, don't steal. And don't commit a sin. If you do, Allah will take you to account in this world and it's good for you. If not, then your matter is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. The point I want to drive home is at this very beginning stages. Remember, the iman has to be strong. The Islam has to be strong. And if you look at that pledge, it's about imsak and nafs, keeping back the nafs from its hawa. Pulling back the desires. And this is so important. The true worth of a Muslim is judged not in his ability to perform salah, his ability to perform hajj, but his ability to hold back his desires when confronted with his hawa. To look down when he's confronted with an attractive female, or there's an attractive male in front of her, she looks down. To stop where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed boundaries within our workplace. That is the true worth of a Muslim. That is the true strength of a Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with these few words, these three lessons that we have taken from this great struggle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah sow the seed of appreciation of what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through in those years and the Sahaba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala place love in our hearts for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the encouragement and the strength we need to face the onslaught of desires. When we are faced with that, to pull back our desires. Wa jazakum Allah khair wa akhiru ta'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة الصلاة
إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافي مزيده. يا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك. سبحانك اللهم لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله خير نبي أرسله الله إلى العالم كله بشيرا ونذيرا صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما دائمين متلازمين إلى يوم الدين. فأوصيكم ونفسي المذنبة بتقوى الله عز وجل. وبعد، أيها الناس اتقوا الله وأطيعوا وانتبهوا لقول الله سبحانه وتعالى إذ قال بعد أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدين لهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين. وبقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ قال قد أفلح من أسلم ورزق كفافا وقنعه الله بما أتاه. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله نبينا الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم.
اللهم صل وسلم وزد وادم وأنعم وتفضل وبارك بجلالك وكمالك على زين عبادك وأشرف عبادك سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وصحبه وبارك وسلم وسلم ورضي الله تبارك وتعالى عن كل صحابة أجمعين.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى بعد أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. وقال مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على عبدك ورسولك كلما ذكروا ذاكرون وكلما غفلا ذكر الغافلون. وصل على محمد كما تحب وترضى وصل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. ورضى اللهم على الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعلى الصحابة أجمعين وتابعيهم وتابعي تابعيهم وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك وأعداء الدين. اللهم انصر عبادك الموحدين في فلسطين وفي كل مكان. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. عباد الله اتقوا الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروه يذكركم واشكروه ولا تكفرون. أقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله،
لا إله إلا الله، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. استقيموا استقيموا أعتنوا يرحمكم الله. صلي الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا أنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس، ملك الناس، إله الناس، من شر الوسواس الخناس، الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. اللهم إني السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أستغفر الله العظيم، أستغفر الله العظيم، أستغفر الله العظيم وأتوب الرحيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. ونسألك التوبة والمغفرة إنه هو التواب الرحيم الفاتح. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم إنا أسألك العفو والعافية وعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تباركت ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. سمعنا وأطعنا فرانك ربنا والمصير، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. الله تقبل منا منكم خير. الله تقبل منا منكم. الله تقبل منا. أهلاً. طيب إن شاء الله.